in the year of like, hey, just doing stuff for me, mm-hmm. I wrote a list of 100 things that I had to do. And pegging was like number 17 or something.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Bad Times Good Stories podcast. My name is Joe Flanders and I am coming at you from the John Glenn. Can you see it? Oh, yeah, there it is. The John Glenn cell phone waiting lot at the airport here in Columbus, Ohio, where I'm waiting to pick up my brother. I've been here for a minute. It appears the flight is delayed. Didn't know that till I got here, so maybe here a minute. But while I'm waiting, the thought of you guys listening to this week's episode is keeping me warm, as I have Jade Catapretta is on the show today, and I had a great time talking with her. She's really funny and very open and honest, and I appreciate that on a show about being vulnerable and talking about bad times that were brutal in the moment, or awkward, or embarrassing, or whatever, but you're able to laugh about now, and we laughed a lot. We talk about the fact that after she got out of a long relationship, she took a year of focusing on self-care and self-love. So we talk about that. We talk about her being Brazilian and performing comedy in Brazil and how cool that was. And we also talk about a sex party she went to that was interesting, which then led to a failed threesome due to some unexpected events, I'll say. And then we talk about butt stuff a lot. A lot of butt talk. Not even sexually, just butts. So, you know, if butts are a trigger for you, then perhaps this may not be the episode for you. But if you love butts, or are even indifferent to them, I think you'll enjoy our conversation. We also talk about a ill-fated cross-country adventure that I had with a girl who I was very much into, but for some sad and messed up circumstances, the whole ordeal did not go well, and it didn't end once we got back to LA. So we also talk about that, and I hope you guys enjoy it. If you do enjoy it, give us that 5-star rating on iTunes. It means a lot. I actually have a review I'm going to read to you right now. Bad times make for a good time. That's the title. Been on board with this podcast since it first started. I've been a big fan of Joe and his comedic work for a long time and love everything he creates. You should all check out Average Joe on YouTube, which you can do on this channel right now. When I heard he was creating a podcast, to say I was stoked was an understatement. Every story is hilarious and makes you wonder how people get into these crazy situations. A truly great podcast I look forward to every Wednesday. So thank you very much, Michael, for writing such a nice review. And while it's nice to hear such things about myself, when you leave a review like that, it also helps us book future guests so that they know that, in all likelihood, hopefully I'm worth their time. So if you could leave a review, email it to me at badtimesgoodstoriespodcast@gmail.com. Take a screenshot of it along with your address, and I will send you something fun. It'll be great, and I certainly appreciate it. So do it. But now, without further ado, here is my conversation with Jade Catapretta. We went off campus to a strip club, and I don't do well in strip clubs.
Oh, really? I thought you seemed like a real big strip club kind of a guy. Right away when I walked in, I thought, like, fuck, this guy hits up strip clubs every night. Wait, I feel weird in strip clubs too because, you know, I'm like so gay, but I don't come off like gay.
Yeah.
And then like I'll like get a lap dance and they're like dancing on me. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you're so funny. I'm like, what?
So I wasn't trying to be funny. I was just enjoying the dance.
I know.
What was funny?
I feel like I got to work on being a little more gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
How do you go about doing that?
I feel like I just like sport more tennis shoes.
Mm, okay.
Like a little less makeup, maybe just like bring out a little more swagger and just okay. like fucking finger girls. Just finger more girls. I'm actually, I'm doing a late night talk show and one of the sketches is called Reverse Stripper, where I'm up there and I'm like naked and then I'm like putting clothes on and they're like, wait, is she putting clothes on? And then there's just one guy who likes it and he's trying to masturbate, but he has too many clothes on, so he can't.
He's trying to get them off while you're putting them on.
Yeah.
Oh, you're really hosting stupid. A new show?
Yeah, I'm doing like a late, the Pack Theater does this thing where every month they have a different person host their own late night talk show.
Cool.
And it's really coming together. There's like a whole writer's room and you meet once a week. And I'm really proud of it. It's like very sex heavy, which I find funny. And the poster's so cute. I'll show it to you. Even.
Please. I just started taking classes at the Pack. I really
like the theater too. Look how cute that is. It's basically a little drawing. You guys can't see it, but we'll put it up.
There.
But also they gave me tiny little cartoon boobs, which I thought was so cute. This is who I want to be, this cartoon.
Yeah. So you said sex just is funny to you. What about it is funny?
I just think that it's such a vulnerable thing that everybody does and likes to do, but nobody wants to admit or talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can physically see people kind of like, when I talk about it on stage.
Yeah.
I think I'm really, really physical on stage. And so people are like, wait, I can imagine that. It's too much. I don't want to. I just think more people should talk about it. Like, there's this huge statistic. It's ridiculous. It's something like 20% of women or something have never come. Like, it's a crazy statistic like that.
Yeah.
Statistic.
Yeah.
That's a hard word.
That is a tough one.
That's a tough one.
I can't even say it.
Because you want to say statistic.
Yeah. Statistic.
Oh, weird. You have a hard time with the part that I do.
Yeah.
You have a hard time with the part of the word I think is...
Dick.
Dick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a lot of people associate sex with shame because like we get in trouble for doing things when we're young, you know, like I had an ex who got in trouble for grinding with his neighbor and it wasn't good.
Just grinding?
Yeah, they were grinding, but they were like 11.
What
you
was
know?
The content? Oh, they were 11. Okay. That's part of it. Where, were they just like in the front yard? Just
no, they were like in the bedroom, like
kind of
scissoring, you know, like,
oh,
but dry humping is natural.
Yeah,
like
it is.
You shouldn't be like, no. You know, you should be like, hey, this is something you do when you're older. It's great and it's good. You know, like.
Yeah, for sure. I wish I'd had a partner during those formative years.
Right?
A friend of mine and I took his dad's old Playboys and we had a Pog maker. Do you remember Pogs?
Of course.
We just made boob Pogs. And
that's
like,
so great. That should be your merch. Right. Oh my God.
Sell some boob Pogs?
Do they still make Pogs? Oh, well, you could 3D print them.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd be cheap.
Absolutely. There's probably like digital Pogs or something.
I just
something
love how tiny boobs look. Like, I just love the little nipple in the middle. Right. It's just like visually pleasing to me. Also, that's how we got food. So I think that's why we love boobs.
Yeah, it's true. They're fundamental to our existence.
Yeah, right?
Boobs.
Boobs.
Fundamental to our existence.
And vaginas, really. That's the door
that's
to the
true.
World, you know? And then buttholes, we were just like, why not? We'll put our fingers in that.
Yeah. It's there.
That's
you know.
Not supposed to be a hole. That's sexy. And we're like, fuck it.
I do think about that sometimes. Like, I'm probably more of a tit guy than an ass guy.
Yeah.
But I still, you know, I will glance at an ass from time to time.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, why do we find these appealing?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Poop comes out of them.
Yeah, poop literally comes out.
Yes.
And it still doesn't stop us.
No.
It doesn't. I've never been, I'm not like an into anal.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been with the right person maybe, but like, it just feels like it's uncomfortable to me.
Yeah. I've never had the desire.
Yeah. Also, how old are you?
31.
Yeah. So like your butthole's gone to hell.
Yeah.
Because after 30, I feel like it just becomes like silk and it just rips.
Yeah. And mine, I mean, I had 90% of my large intestine taken out when I was
13
for colon cancer. So
wait, what?
Just casually dropped that.
This date just changed. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
My mom had that some of her intestine removed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a preventative surgery. Like it runs in my family. So like my mom had her stomach removed because the polyps on the anyway.
How do you where does the food go?
It just comes out of me quicker.
That's crazy.
So, yes, my butthole is all kinds of ripped up.
All kinds of ripped up. have really fast metabolism. Like, I literally can't go on dates because I'm like, I'm going to have to take a shit right after dinner. So can we just do drinks?
Yeah, they've been dating you for like 3 months. I've never seen her eat.
Yeah. No, I just shit too quick. Right, but I like it. But I miss having like that solid poop that doesn't hurt. Like, nobody tells you that your butt goes to shit.
No, they literally.
Nobody warns you. They're like, hey, getting older is great, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Every time you poop, it's going to hurt.
And when you think about it, it makes sense. Because, I mean, by the time you're 30, I mean, how many shits has that been?
Oh, my God.
30,000?
Thousands. Wait, can we actually do this math?
Okay, yeah. So,
okay, twice, probably three times a day for 30 years.
So there's 365.
365 times 2. 30. Times 2.
Oh, yes. That would be better. So that'd be...
I know you guys are dying to know how many times I've pooped in my life.
365 times 2. So that's 730 times a year times 30. Nope, not divided. 21,900 times.
Oh, my God. How can the butthole even be a tiny hole still? The elasticity is impressive.
It really is.
Yeah.
I think we should commend the butthole.
Yeah, and the vagina, too. Like, well, you put a whole head through it, and then it just... Well, it doesn't go right back until I tiny hole. But right. Enough.
But you work at it. You know.
Yeah.
It's impressive. See, we don't have anything comparable. I mean, I guess we have the butthole. But
actually, the butthole feels better for you guys because of the prostate.
That's true.
Which kind of leads me into one of my horrific stories that I wanted to tell.
Oh, fantastic. Just to tee it up. So you were in a long-term relationship.
Yes.
And then it ended.
Mm-hmm.
And how long were you with this person?
Like 7 and some. So I say 8 just to round it because I really like that number.
8.
Yeah.
It's a good number.
Let's go with a good number. And it was, you know what? A great relationship.
Yeah.
We really like had so much fun. You know, it just like didn't work out.
Yeah. Fizzled.
Yeah. Fizzled.
Yeah. That happened.
And then I, for a year, decided to not date anyone.
Mm.
I was like kind of going through some codependency issues.
Okay.
Like, I'm that person that's like, hold my hand. And my ex would be like, we're brushing our teeth. Stop. we're running. Stop. I'm like, come on. But I didn't realize I was really codependent because my parents were in a really codependent relationship. And they actually split up right after my ex and I did.
Really?
Yeah. So it's been very, I've had a lot of awareness. Like, this year has been like the year of like figuring out the things that I want to keep that are mine and the things that I want to let go. And I definitely don't want to be as codependent. I want to be a cool, independent chick
So how did you realize you were so codependent?
Well, I started to realize like unhealthy behavior.
Yeah.
Like, you know, cause I started to kind of let go of it, but my sister still would have it, or my mom would still have it, or my dad would still have it. And I would notice it and be like, wait, that's not right. Like,
I see.
Just like this. Sorry to get too, like, this is a little too, I don't know, like maybe a little too deep, but like wanting love that's not like you don't have to prove that somebody loves you. Like I just want to know that this person loves me. Like I don't want to have to make them prove to me constantly that they love me. And that's something that I had for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think that's something my dad has.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just like loving the person for who they are and just like accepting that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm curious, what was it like as having your parents divorce as an adult?
It was weird. I thought that I thought it would be much easier, but it's like comes in squirts of like, I don't know. It's been difficult kind of for me. Because it kind of feels like your parents are dead in a sense, because sort of like the relationship that you had and the formula is like kind of different.
Well, yeah, like everything you knew, and there's a little bit of like everything I knew was a lie. You know, like I don't know if that's the case, but
a little. Like I mean, I they love each other. You know, they had so many great years together, 30 something whatever years together. But I think the dynamic of relationship in my head has completely changed, and I wish that I had known that from the beginning. You know what I mean? See. Like, I didn't understand that like, we would all go to Gap and, like, all be in the dressing rooms. Like, this isn't right.
Wait a minute.
We don't all have to be here, right?
I wonder what the Gap employees thought.
Like, yeah, they're like, why is the dad in the dressing room too? He'd just be like bored in there. I'm like, Dad, you don't have to be here.
Yeah, he's supposed to be like sitting on a bench next, you know, next to the dressing room.
Next to the other bored dads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the whole allegiance.
But no, we'd all be in there. We were just a really close family. And I was always like, it's a Brazilian thing, which it is, by the way. Like, most Brazilians are extremely codependent. Like, in America, I'm horny all the time and I want to like, I'm like, ooh, what's up? Who's next?
Yeah.
And then in Brazil, I don't need that because everyone's so validating and like gives you much attention. Everyone kisses when they meet. Like even if you meet a stranger, you're kissing him. And so it's like, enough. I don't want to be touched there. I'm like, enough. It's cultural and it's familial for me. So that's what I've had to kind of shake off.
Right.
Because I want to be more of an independent. I want to have more self-love.
Okay. That's and not, major. Yeah, not put your love on somebody else.
Right. Not depend on somebody else's love to have self-worth. Right. Yeah. Or a job to have self-worth, like, which is a new thing. Cause I feel like the more self-love you have, like the more you attract people wanting to love you.
Yes. So, yeah. I think you attract what you think of yourself, I think comes off to others. And so if you attract somebody who also has some self-love.
Yeah. Then, and for years I was like, I'm garbage. Why am I not getting any jobs? But yeah.
Were you born here or in Brazil?
I was born in São Paulo, Brazil. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Charlottesville, Virginia when I was like 10 turning 11.
Oh, wow.
And my first birthday party was at the circus and nobody came.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you invite a lot of people?
We invited everybody.
Oh, God.
But I had been in America for like a few days maybe. So. And then it snowed right away too. And I remember being like, this, what the fuck? I hate snow still.
Yeah.
Everyone was like donating winter clothes to us from the neighborhood. Like, wait, who's that sports team with the Hornets? I got like a Hornets jacket. And I was like, I hate sports. And I hate snow.
And no one came to my birthday.
Yeah. Nobody came to my birthday.
That sucks.
And then in middle school, I learned English and I was a fucking bitch. I was a yearbook editor. I was like, never looked back.
Wow. You started from the bottom and rose to yearbook editor.
Yeah. It was a pretty big deal because I could get out of any class to take photos. So I would sneak out and make out with boys all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I people make fun of me because, you know, people are like, oh, social media, bullshit. I'm like, no, it's like yearbook. Like, I just love visual design. So I really enjoy it. So I don't know.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Yeah, the relationship of 8 years ended. Your parents got divorced. You're like, I'm done dating. Does that mean you're just going to play the field for a while? Was that your plan?
No, my plan was like self-care, meditation every day. And then I moved in with a buddy who had this dog named Cheryl. And we fell in love. And I took the dog. Like when I was moving out, he's like, you're taking Cheryl, aren't you? I was like, yeah. So I took her. And she kind of like, I hate being like, she saved my life. But she provided this like structural rhythm for me that like saved me.
Wow.
Like when I get up, I have to get up earlier because I have to walk her. And like, I take her everywhere. That's why I always ask. I'm like, can I take her? But yeah, they would have been at each other nonstop.
Would have been rough.
The two dogs would have.
Yeah.
It would have been rough. Mm-hmm. Get it?
I was going to wait and see if you picked up on it.
I just start punching the camera. Fuck this.
I hate puns.
Yeah, I hate puns.
Get out of here.
But it was it was a year of like self-care and then I started working and then I went to Brazil. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to go to Brazil. I'm going to reconnect with my people, do a documentary. I shot a documentary while I was there.
Oh, about what?
Just about going back to Brazil and I hadn't been there in 20 years.
Wow.
So going back, I went to my grandmother's grave and we cried and I got flowers and then later found out it was the wrong grave. I was like, well... the thought that counts. But
did you find the right one?
I found the right one. The second trip, which was really trippy because I have a really good friend and his last name is Aflalo, and then there was like a bunch of Aflalos on the grave and we're like, well, we are related, shit, should have made out. But it was initially just really about reconnecting and then also kind of like exploring the comedy scene in Brazil. And I thought it would be like a few people doing comedy, but it became this huge thing.
Yeah.
And they're sort of in a moment where comedy is booming there like it was here in the 80s. And to be a part of that for me is so special.
Yeah.
To like have all these comics know who I am is really special to me. And to be the first like American, you know, I'm a little bit established here, to go back and go like, hey, I'm representing you guys. And like, anytime a Brazilian comic comes here now, I get him up and like,
nice.
yeah, so that it started like that, and now it's just, you know, I'm just trying to bridge the two worlds together.
Sure. Yeah.
And since I've gone two more times.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. There's probably just a special bond of, you know, you kind of have two homes in a way. So it's like you go there and just the connection between you and the other comics and everything.
Yeah. I just like it. I just feel like my friends are so legit there. Yeah. And I just have this like big group of gay people there. I love it.
Yeah.
Because the first time I went, I was like, I'm going to make out with everybody. And then I just made out with this one really decky chick. And she knows who she is. She has a piercing on the back of her neck. So, yeah.
Very nice.
We did it. But
word.
I don't even remember where I was going with that.
Oh, so this was your year of self-love?
Yeah, self-love. And then I went, and then after that, I went to Lebanon, did stand-up there. I think I was one of the first women to ever perform there. So that was cool.
Wow.
Had a lot of suitors there.
Yeah.
Went on a yacht. It was fun. Then then I got to do JFL this year, which was cool. And then I went to Australia for a month. And that's actually what I just got back from.
Well, hot damn. Wow. Yeah. I'd say it's been quite a year of self-love.
Now it's been like a year and it's been almost 2 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first year was a lot of crying and a lot of meditation. And then I started traveling and that's kind of how I like found myself again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at what point did you sort of jump back into the dating pool and all that stuff?
The first guy I hooked up with was this like 24-year-old dude.
Okay.
And I have all these bits about him now and he's so sweet. But we were kind of like each other's transition because he was like really into his ex still and I was really into mine. And then I had sex with this autistic guy.
Okay.
And that was cool because he was like incapable of making eye contact and I wasn't like really ready to connect. So that was really cool. And and then I like just slowly got it out of my system.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. You're like, you mean making love? I'm like, no, I got it out of my system. I needed to get some dick release, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
While in exploration mode, I hit up a couple of sex parties.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I had always heard of them. I didn't go to like the premiere one, which I feel like I'm saving that for New Year's, but,
Start the new year with a bang.
Right? Mm-hmm. Literally. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm that person who has sex at the sex party. I'm more of the person who goes to like gather material to talk about it on podcasts.
Yes. Yes.
But
how does one gain entrance to a sex party?
Oh man, you have to fuck the guy who runs the sex party. Oh, no, I'm kidding. I have a good friend who like goes to them and she had been talking about it and we all got really interested. We're like, let's go. So a group of us went like kind of on a whim after we were already kind of drunk from another party.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was really interesting. It was in a hotel room and you know, you'd walk in and there's just people having sex. And then there's like always a dude who just walks around stretching like with his dick out. And they're like, cool.
Was he just doing lunges? You know?
Basically he's just like his hamstrings were tight. My friend was telling me about this guy. She's like, he was just stretching his hamstrings in different spots. But like his dick was fully hard the entire time. And it was like a horse dick. So we were all just like, stretch away. Shouldn't we be stretching?
Did he like ask anyone to help with the stretching?
Yeah, he's like, oh, hey, can you pull me real tight? And you're like, wait, my mouth is too close to you. I guess I'll just blah, blah, blah. I just like, the thing was like, I found the whole thing more funny than sensual.
Right.
Like I am voyeuristic. Like I love to watch. I don't know that I would be like, I don't know that I'd be into people watching me. Like, I'm more into like just us. That's where the codependency comes back in. But my friend is like really adventurous and she like had a great time and she fucked two dudes and squirted. It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
But like, I did not watch. I did not watch my friend has sex. It's too much. I can't do it.
That'd be a bit much for me. Yeah.
So I walk into the sex party. There's the dude stretching, people having sex, and I'm like a little drunk and feeling good. I'm wearing an all pink suit. So I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And I like sort of was like just outside talking to this German guy. And I thought he was hot, but like I wasn't really like in the mood to like, you know, when you're just like, there's certain nights where you're like, my vagina shaved, let's go. But other nights you're like, meh. And we're talking and he's a nice enough guy. And then I kind of like move on and start talking to this French girl. And then within minutes we're making out. Ooh. Like we're just like it was so weird.
Yeah.
It was so bizarre. Like I don't even remember how it happened. Like I wasn't that drunk, but I just like, And then they were going to another sex party. She's like, come on, come on, do this other sex party with me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I think one sex party a night is, I've met my quota.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, for the year. So no. But they went.
What was the hotel room like?
The hotel was nice.
Yeah. Was it a suite?
It was a suite. They had two different suites.
Oh.
Also, I was like, what about the people that come right after? You know what I mean? Right. Like, wait.
Yeah. I'm sure it just smells of sex.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a weird call to make down to the, you know, the front desk.
Hi, I found 38 condoms under the bed.
It also reeks of sex.
Yeah, yeah. I can't really quite put my finger on it, but I think it's pussy and dick combined.
A little bit of sweat, yeah, you know,
and some tears. I definitely smell the tears. So whatever, I like make out with this girl and I like her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, cool. Cause I'm also like, as gay as I say I am, like it's still very new to me and I get very nervous still with like girl stuff. And so we leave. I get the girl's number. I don't remember her name the next day. And I'm devastated. I'm like looking through my phone for any like French girl, like anything, you know? And I can't figure it out. I'm like, I'm thinking of all the French names, you know? And I can't. I'm like, did I write beret girl on my phone? Which was it? Then I get a text that's like, hey, let's have a threesome. And I think it's the French girl. So I'm like, oh my gosh, who is this? And I'm like, is this Germany or France? Because I had talked to that German guy. I was like, did I give him my number? And he's like, it's Germany. And I'm like, okay. He's like, come on, come have a threesome. I'm like, with the French girl? He's like, yeah, whatever you want. I'm like, oh my God, let's do it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, all right.
Because I'm like, just in this mood of like, fuck it. I'm like, I'm coming over. What kind of beer do you want? He's like, Sapporo. I was like, okay, like this.
Okay.
Grab some Sapporos.
Sure.
Washed some parts and got in the car and went. And I let a couple of friends know in the area just in case I went missing.
Sure.
And I listened to a lot of murder podcasts. So right. I was like
prepared.
And my friend was going to wait for me outside in the car in case I needed to bail.
Okay. Well, that's a good friend.
Yeah. She was just going to sit in her car while I had a threesome.
Got down to business.
So I walk in and right away, like the guy's hot, but I notice he has like a large herpes sore on his lip. And I'm like, damn it. I'm glad I have two joints. So then I'm already like, this is not going to happen. But like, let's just see where's the French girl, right? And he's like, oh, she's not here. It's this other girl. I'm like, what? Switch up. Classic.
The classic switcheroo.
Classic threesome switch up. I'm like, where is the OG French girl? Who is this girl? She's cute, but it's like, no. And they clearly just had sex too. So I'm like, what is happening?
She like has a fake French accent. Oh,
yeah,
this is the same girl.
Is me. Yeah. It's me too. Don't you recognize me? I'm like, no, you're the different girl. I have like such a specific style of woman that I like. I like love French girls. I love Australian girls. Like I have a thing for like the accent, the thicker the accent, the more I like it.
Yeah. I've had some times with an Australian and it was fun. I find them to be direct.
Yeah, I like
it. Maybe it's just the accent too.
They're just the nicest people.
Yes.
Like and everyone is so nice in Australia. Mm-hmm. I just like, and unless you talk like Melbourne versus Sydney, then they're like, fuck Melbourne. And then you get not really mad. You're like, sure.
Well, that's fine. Yeah.
I'm not loyal to anything like that, you know, where I'm like, fuck the other thing. Like, I don't care.
Okay. So you're there with the fake French girl.
I'm like, okay, this is awkward. If I just leave now, let's just like hang out. They're like nice people. Like, am I going to have a beer, have a little bit of a joint? They have a separate joint from me because I'm like, oh, this one has cigarettes in it. Slash, I don't want to get herpes from smoking a joint.
Yes.
So they're smoking and they're like talking about this other sex party that's like run by this woman. I don't, you know, whatever. And there's a table full of sex toys and there's like a little piece of paper that's like, what sex things do you enjoy from like the pleasure chest, you know? And I'm like, so what's this about, you know? And he's like, proceeds to tell me about, you know, he's like, I just wanted to see like what you were comfortable with. I can't do a German accent.
That's fine.
Can you do one for me so I can, am I putting you on the spot?
I just want to see what it's what you're comfortable with.
Cool, you'll play the guy in this. And then he proceeds to tell me that he's really into getting pegged. Which let me
hit
back,
me.
Yeah, which is like, let me back up a few steps. In the year of like, hey, just doing stuff for me, I wrote a list of 100 things that I had to do, and pegging was like number 17 or something. It was like scuba diving, skydiving, like pegging.
Okay.
You know, just because it's like, I just think it's like, I don't know. I'm like curious about it.
Sure.
You know, I'm just like a curious thing. I just like poking holes. And so he's telling me about it, and he's like, we don't have to kiss and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, which is like the one thing I really like, you know? So I'm like, and he's telling me about it, and he's like explaining it, like all the scientific parts of it. And like, you know, he had like a strap on there already ready to go. And honestly, if like the mouthing wasn't happening, like I just for the story would have done it. Like, because he's a really attractive, like smart guy, you know? But then I was like, just say your truth. So I was like, look, I have to like release my truth. Like, what's up with your lip? Like, what's on your lip? And he's like, and then he just tells this like bullshit story about how like some dog bit him.
What?
And that's when I was like, danger zone, danger zone, danger zone. Because if he was like, oh, I have herpes, like it's not on my dick, like I'm having like a mouth thing, like I would have been like, okay, I'll poke you in the butt a little and I'll spank you or something. Yeah. But like,
tap on the fanny.
But yeah, like the whole lie part about a dog, like it was just like a weird. That's when it made me feel weird. And I was like, I think I'm going to go, you know, and my friend was outside, and she like, and then later in the day he kept texting me, come back and peg me.
You did not.
And then I actually got in touch with the real French girl and we went on a date, and it was cool. She's cool. She lives in France. Very authentic. And she was like, yeah, that guy, he came to the sex party the other night, like after our sex party, and he was trying to peg everyone. So or I was just trying to get everyone to peg him, and the owner did not like it, so she kicked him out, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, someone peg this poor German man.
That's all he wants.
That's all he wants.
You denying him just made the desire that much more.
I know he thought he was going to, but I got to be. Number 17, not crossed off yet.
Still not, huh?
Yeah. No, still haven't. You know, I just feel like it's got to be the right guy.
Yep. STD free.
STD free. Mm-hmm. Look, you don't have to be STD free, but you just have to be like very honest enough. Right. I do not like people want liars are worse than people who have STDs, because it happens, you know? Right. So I was like, yeah, that part like really turned me off, and it's such a bummer. But yeah, I'm like, I'm open to situations like that. Like, I think I would go to another sex party and just like see who's there.
Sure.
You know, look, there's something around, about it. Yeah.
It, yeah, I don't know how I would react. I think I'd just laugh.
Yeah, like nervous laughter. Yeah.
But also, just as we were kind of talking about at the beginning, I find sex to be hilarious. Because it's just bumbling, my experience, bumbling and awkward and kind of goofy. And like, when you just think about the physical act, it's just it's just funny to me.
It's funny to me
just
too.
Flopping against each other.
Yeah. And, like, the sounds are gross and like, but I like to lose myself. I don't like when people are like, you know, like out of it. Like I'm either all the way in or like,
Nah.
But it's scary. It's scary. Like, being a girl on the girl on girl thing, like I haven't really figured out like who does what. It's like this awkward, like I want it to be this general, like this gender neutral thing, but then I'm always like, open the door for me, bitch. Like, I'm still like expecting the things that I get from a guy. I'm like, why didn't she pour my water? Fucking rude.
So you said that the women part of it is still sort of a new thing for you?
Yeah, it's still like,
when did you realize, have you known for a long
time? I've always sort of been bi. Like in college, it was a lot easier because I went to Emerson and they call it gay by May. That's like the standard saying.
Oh, okay.
And it was like easy because everyone's drunk and like it's fluid and it's cool. But now, like, sort of like figuring out how that fits into my life and whether it's like something I really want to pursue. And
where are you at with it?
I feel good about it.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Day by day.
Day by day.
Day by day. Doesn't that make you think of the Wet Hot American Summer?
Yep. That's like my favorite throwaway joke in that. Day by day.
God, I love that fucking movie so much. So are you a hardcore fan?
Yeah. So, other fun sexual misadventures? I feel like you wrote like a whole soliloquy of fun stories.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. I've been journaling a lot.
Yeah. Which, you know, which is great. Don't apologize. Yeah.
I've been like, every person that I hook up with, I like write every detail, like just because I forget. And, you know, but this is like a long time ago, actually. This is before my ex. I hooked up with this guy. He was like, he was part of this film that I worked on, and there was so much tension. We've been wanting to have sex forever. And we finally like went to my house. It was getting like really hot and heavy. We were like hooking up and we're naked and like about to fuck. And he's like, oh shit, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And I lived in this like tiny Hollywood apartment, and he goes into the bathroom and he's like in there for a while. And then I start to hear just like the most absurd, like loud shit diarrhea.
Oh,
like,
no.
And he's like, oh no. Like just moaning, groaning. He's in there for like 20 minutes. I'm just like sitting there naked on my bed. Like,
yeah, slowly pulling the covers
and
up.
And I'm hoping like I hear a shower next, but then he just runs into the bed and like puts the covers and like turns and starts like sleeping, I think. And I'm like, what? You okay? And he's like, and I'm like, are you okay? And he's just not saying anything. So I'm like, okay, he just wants to go to sleep, right? Yeah. Like, and he's not like a stranger to me. Like, he's like someone I know. So I was like, okay. And then in the morning, like, he doesn't say anything about it. Oh, no, no. At night, this is what's weird. So then at night, like, the bed's like kind of shaking. And I like could have sworn he was masturbating.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was like sweating and shaking because he was like violently ill.
You have Ebola?
Like, but I was like, or is he masturbating?
Yeah.
And I was like too nervous to ask. Like Jade 2018 would have been like, are you masturbating? Yeah. Let me, you know, like, but, and then he like never showered. So he just had like a crusty butt. And I just like, he was next to me. It was just, and then the next morning I had to drive him to his car. Like his car wasn't there. So it was just like this silent car ride. And then I realized I left like one of my grandmother's rings at his house earlier that night. We were like hanging out at his house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I didn't know how to approach it because I really wanted the ring back. Ugh. And so I wrote him and then he never wrote me back ever again.
Do you never got the ring back?
Never got the ring back. Oh. I've told this poop story like several times. So I don't know if he follows my career, but
that is the worst when there's, and you said there'd been like, this has been a long buildup. Like you were working on this movie. It was a long shoot.
Yeah. We didn't want to like make out during the movie. Cause we're like, we want to be professional. And it was like, so yeah.
And then, yeah, when it's all set up, it's teed up, you're like, we're going to have sex. And then you don't.
But that's okay. Like, it's the way that people turn off that I don't, you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just that sort of, like, depending on how people handle it, like, when you're just like, well, now we're just laying here and we're not going to do
like
anything.
He was so embarrassed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like, everybody poops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True.
There's books.
There are.
They're
scientific studies.
Scientifics. Oh my God, that's so funny. We didn't know this already, so we did a study to prove that everybody poops. That's a really funny Daily Show piece.
Yeah.
We went around at homes asking people, do you poop? Yes. Check.
A resounding yes to everyone we asked.
Have you had a thing where a girl has had to poop?
Yes. Usually it's been me. Generally speaking.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, there was once, and she actually was totally, this was years ago. I hadn't thought about this in a while.
Sorry to bring this back.
No, it's okay.
You're trying to cover some things up?
Well, you know, that's fine. It's fine.
Nobody's here.
No one's here. I hadn't had sex in a while and this was a girl that I'd sort of known. It just sort of it wasn't like the long tension thing.
Right.
I think we were both just kind of like subconsciously each other's backup, you know, where it's just like, if we're both feeling lonely enough and it adds up, maybe it'll happen.
Right.
So I wasn't like that excited, you know?
Right.
So it was at her place. She goes to the bathroom, very loud poop.
Right.
Comes back out.
Wait,
and then,
wait. Go back.
Yes.
Like, are we talking about, like, what do you hear?
Like,
you hear drops or do you hear, like, what? Like,
I hear some farts.
Farts.
Yeah.
Out loud farts?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some drops, some farts.
That's pretty crazy. Not even running water.
No. No, didn't even try to like cover it up. I have There was a time where I was pooping leading up to the sex. And I was very self-conscious about it. She didn't have a fan. I hate bathrooms that don't have fans.
See, I hate that fan sound if you can't turn it off. It bothers me.
Well, that's outside of the situation we're talking about.
Right. You need a fan for the noise.
You know. So she didn't have one, so I just went la 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 to cover up my fart sounds. Yeah. Then she just thought I was psychotic.
I'd rather be psychotic than a poopy poop. Yeah, exactly. This is why I think that every toilet should be like a Japanese toilet. You know, they make sound when you're about...
Really?
When you poop. Yeah, like little sound comes on, like little music comes on.
Wow.
And then it cleans your butt. So it's like, fine.
What a wonderful invention.
Japan is the future, honestly. I mean, everything but sex.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Anyway, the pooping girl came out. And acted as if nothing happened.
Poop girl.
Acted as if nothing happened. And then trying to be sexy and seductive, asked if I wanted to do anal.
But you know what?
The timing of that was precarious for me.
Yeah, but she got it all out.
Yeah. Did she, though? I don't know.
I know. Then you got a shower.
What kind of a wiper is she? I don't know.
I know. Then it's like, did you have wet wipes like ready and available?
No. And I just said no because I was awkward. And then she was like, you can just leave. Then we didn't have sex.
She only wanted to do anal.
I guess. And I felt very uncomfortable with that. So that was an example of what I was saying earlier when it's
Look
all teed up and then it doesn't happen.
Oh my God, he's so shy.
Well, I've never shared this before. That and I totally so forgot crazy. About that
I feel
night.
Like if I really have to poop, like, I'm not going to be like, hey, sorry, I have to poop. But like, I'll cover it up and then I'll probably like shower or like wipe with water. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I want to have that kind of confidence where I just take a shit and I go, you want to fuck me in the butt? Jesus. That girl is fucking cool.
She was. Yeah. If she had told the story to me, I'd be like, oh, that's fucking cool.
Right.
But to be on the other side of that, I
don't want a poopy dick.
I'd prefer not to do that. And, you know, and I'm awkward anyway, so I didn't know how to handle that. And I was just like, I don't think so.
I don't think so, sweetheart.
Sorry, darling.
Yeah.
But
sorry you wasted that poop on me. Well, I'm glad this episode is so poopy.
Yeah. Yeah, by far the most poopy of the 75 that we've done so far.
Oh, congrats, 75.
Yeah. Congrats to you. Oh, thank you.
Congrats to you for being the poopiest of them all. Yeah.
So what sexual experience has had the most lasting impression on you? Whether good or bad. Preferably bad. Given the bad times nature of the show.
Yeah, like I feel like those were like kind of like my like horrific kind of stories, but like even like the 24-year-old dude I hooked up with, like there was just like these funny moments, you know, like he put a bunch of fingers in my butt and then when he like, and he, they were just sitting in there for a while after we finished. And I was like,
really?
Yeah. And then he like finished and he's like, took out the fingers. We were like, it was like this sweet, it was like this weird, sweet moment where he's like, all my fingers were up there. I was like, yeah, it was so weird. God, I hope my parents don't find this one.
Yeah.
They probably will. Yeah, what you get. That's what you get for Googling me.
You guys should write Hallmark cards together.
Oh, my God.
I love you so much. I want to stick all of my
three fingers in your butt. Yeah. Oh, he only had three fingers.
Oh, no, three-finger man. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But I feel like every sexual experience is like so awkward and it just becomes normal after a while.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and then you're like, you know, you're worried about being pregnant. You're worried about STDs. It's like, you're worried like you'll fall in love with the person, you know?
That would be the worst.
Let's
do STDs, pregnancy, just not love.
I don't want to fall in love again.
No.
The pain.
Never again.
How long have you been in your relationship?
3 years. It was three years in September.
So add 5 years and then end it and see how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah, then we can do a follow-up interview.
Yeah, make all your lives really like connected.
Yeah. And then end it. It'll be great.
Yeah. See what you get.
Well, where are you at now with your sexcapades?
Sexcapades. Now I like have an open mind. I'm not like pursuing. Mm-hmm. There's someone I kind of like that I'm pursuing, but there's not like any. I'm not like, I don't go out being like, I'm going to meet someone tonight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's kind of like, I just kind of want it to happen naturally. And
yeah.
I've decided I don't want to date somebody in the industry. Mm-hmm. Like they can be parallel.
Sure.
But they can't be like an actor or a comic.
Yeah.
I talked about it a lot on Steve's show. I was just like, I want a normie. And I've gotten a lot of DMs. So thank you guys for those.
I'm kind of curious. Well, how do you respond to these DMs?
Sometimes I respond, but if they're too like overtly sexual, I block them. Because it's just like, it's just gross and it makes me feel gross. Mm-hmm. But like if they're funny or like they'll say, I'll allow it. You know, mm-hmm. It's kind of entertaining, but it's also like, I want people to feel close to me. Like I overshare and I'm comfortable with that.
Right.
And I want people to feel like they can talk to me.
Yes.
In that platform. Like, so.
Have you ever gone on a date through a DM?
Yeah. Did you ever do the dating sites or the.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. I did Tinder.
You made it sound like you just said Tinder.
Huh?
That's so sweet.
Oh, I made it Tinder.
Yeah. I did Tinder.
I was on Tinder.
It's
and I was
elderly women site. It's an app for if you want to date.
I was doing God's work with the elderly, the elderly women. I did it in L.A. and had no success. And then I did it in North Carolina after a bad breakup with somebody who didn't want to be with me. So, you know, that's always a good start. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She'd be like, I don't think this is working. I'm like, you'll come around. It's fine. It's fine. Let me pay for another dinner. It'll be great. And so I ended up living with my grandmother in North Carolina. And I've talked about this. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was cool. And I did tend around there, out there. And I found some sort of, I don't know if this is, I found some confidence and more directness, I think.
Yeah.
And also just being from LA and having worked on a few TV shows, like I think my confidence was higher.
Yeah, you leave LA, your numbers go up. Babe.
Exactly.
Like, you know, we're all like six or sevens here, but there we're fucking tens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I acted that way.
Yeah.
And this is embarrassing, but there was a girl who we matched and like
this is going to be good.
So I was just very direct and I was just like, hey, are you cool enough to hang out with me tonight? Or some douchey thing like that.
I would be like, are you cool enough to hang out with me tonight? And then it would go back and forth until we were both like, oh, I'm really lonely. Want to go out tonight?
Yeah, I'm actually sad. Are you sad? We can just hug each other. That'd be fine. And she may have responded in some way like that. Like, I don't know. You tell me or something like that. And then so I was like, well, let's just do it or whatever. And then we met up and...
Meet me at my grandma's.
You pick me up?
Don't be too long. My grandma's sleeping. It's 5.
So we went out that night and the night ended, we made out and then that was it. But then when I got home, that's when I got, you know, I was like, I still didn't have the confidence to like really push it in person.
Yeah.
Cause I also just, I think have respect for people. So like, you know, it was clear what my intentions were. She wasn't really going for it. I wasn't going to like push too hard, but with the confidence of a screen, I was just like, so why don't I come over? She goes, I'm cleaning my room or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, so, I can help you clean too. That's not what I said.
I'll get the Swiffer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but then I just like describe, I was just like, I'm going to come over and then I'm going to go down on you for like 20 minutes. And I just like described everything I was going to do, which it's probably a fairly, people do that. But for me, I was just pacing back and forth like, oh my God, I'm going to say this.
Where does the comma go?
Yeah, I don't know. She's punctuation is key. And then, she was just like, no, I'll just have, she did like the ha-ha, not tonight. And then my history with this girl is very interesting. We ended up going out a couple more times, still never having sex.
Yeah.
Cause I was getting ready to head back to LA.
Yeah.
Like the night that it probably would have happened, I told her beforehand, like, hey, I'm leaving. I just want you to know.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't want to like have sex with her. Fuck. And then, I didn't want to have sex with her and then
on
be
the
like,
ditch,
oh, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You know,
you know, so that backfired. She was just like, oh, well, I'm not trying to like hook up with somebody who's then leaving. So,
But isn't that the best? Like, let's just do it.
I know. That was my thought.
Yeah. I feel like as women, we have this thing where it's like, we can't have sex with too many people.
Yeah.
Like it's, there's this like this line that we can't draw. Like it has to be this number, mm-hmm. you know? Dang, man.
Yeah. So then I left. Then a couple years, like a year and a half later, I was back in Charlotte because I got a DUI the first time I was living there. I know, right?
Yeah.
I put that on my Tinder profile.
Ladies, I drink and drive. Yeah.
I blew a .09.
That the limit's sucks.
And I had no idea. Like, it wasn't like in college when I was like, I don't know if I should be driving.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I had no idea.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Anyway, the whole thing got thrown out, which is cool.
Awesome.
Because there was no cause for pulling me over and the dash cam proved that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's very lucky.
But I was back in town, and so I hit her up, and then we made out some more. And I went to New York to film a movie. I stopped in Charlotte to go to the movie. I was very lonely. We were like, you know, it's when you're on a set and you're working. I was producing, acting, and like co-directing. And so at the end of the night, you're just really tired. And so with you know the distance brought us together. And then she was like, I think I got to get out of here. Like I need to move. And I was like, you should move in with me. In LA. And she was like, I think we should do this. And keep in mind, I had still not had sex with her and really only spent like 8 days with her.
Oh my God. This is making me cringe. Yeah.
Yes. So then I go back down to North Carolina after the shoot to like spend some time with her, you know, and let her like wrap up her life there. She'd never left. Like, you know, it was a big thing. I remember going to like her, you know, and like we were hanging out some.
And I'm single. Okay, yeah?
Yeah.
I would have fucked you by then.
Yeah. And we were like kind of getting to know each other, but it was clear that this was a dumb idea.
Yeah.
But I was like, but I'm lonely and I've never driven across the country with a girl. So like that would be nice.
That sounds fun actually.
Yeah. You know,
fun,
like stopping in hotels and having sex and all this stuff. Oh, I should backtrack. The last night of the movie in New York.
Yeah.
I'm across the street because I'm not involved with the scene. They're finishing up the scene. I'm feeling really good. She calls me and tells me that she got raped the night before.
Mic drop.
Yes. And so my first thought
what
was...
What do you mean? Like...
Like she'd been out at a bar and it was some person she... I don't know. I don't want to...
Right. Yeah.
So my first reaction was anger. And I was like, I'm going to get in the car now and like kick that guy's ass or whatever. I probably couldn't have because, you know, I'm me. But, you know, there's a lot of anger there.
Yeah.
And then... And I'm not proud of this, but the thought in my head was... Are we going to have sex on this road trip? I can't.
No, dude.
No, of course. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to move across the country with this person who I still haven't had sex with.
But that's a big thing. Like, not like, okay, putting the, look, the rape thing as a whole, like, because she's going to feel violated and like, she's not going to want to physically be with anybody. But like, for you, it's like, that's not okay for you either. You know what I mean? Like both parties are losing at this point.
Yes. And then, so then I go back to North Carolina and I'm there for like 10 days getting to know her and stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to make any moves. I'm not going to do anything. She's in a fragile state. I, you know, and then, but I'm like, but I also don't want to like break it off and be like, hey, since that happened, I don't think we should, you know, you should change your life. I didn't want to like cut her
but
off.
Maybe like, there's like a time where you're like, hey, you're going through a lot. Like this might be a lot to move. And
yeah, that would have been a good way to approach this. And an honest way to approach it. But I didn't know how to communicate. So I was just like, it's, you know, like we'll get through this together. And so then we leave and, you know, like I remember talking with her dad and all that stuff, like, you know, take care of her and all that stuff. I'm like, you got it, sir.
Oh,
and I'm like, I'm getting deeper and deeper into this.
Yeah. Just digging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like, no, it's just good. Like there's, I'm with somebody. Like I'm by her, you know, I'm going to help her out and this will be good. And then maybe something will happen. Maybe. I don't know.
And everyone knows she'll let me put it in.
Yeah. Maybe, you know? And so we stop at the hotel. The first night we stop in Atlanta and I'm just, you know, we're in the hotel and I'm like, this is everything I've always wanted. I'm in a hotel with a cool girl who I'm attracted to and I'm not going to do anything. So maybe she will. And then she didn't. And then we kept driving.
Like, wait, had you only made out? Like, has she even touched your dick at this point? Not even a poke.
Yeah, this is how lonely I was. And I was just like, maybe. Yeah.
Oh,
eventually.
My God, being a guy sucks. Yeah.
So then we go, you know, we're driving cross country and she's not really talking to me on the drive. She's reading books the whole time. And she's also like 7 years younger than me.
That's rude, by the way. Like, yes. Co-piloting is the part of it is you're supposed to be entertaining.
Yes, exactly.
Not even roadhead?
Not even roadhead. Not even a conversation, really.
Not even road talk.
No. And so, you know, we're just driving cross country in silence. I'm listening to podcasts. Like, this is not going as
this
I hoped it would.
This is not like I saw it.
I saw this as a road trip.
I thought she'd be topless. Yeah.
And I remember, you know, we stopped off in New Orleans and she like met my friends that live there. And
I love New Orleans.
Oh, it's one of my favorite cities.
Yeah, me too.
Ever. And, you know, again, that was like a big prideful thing for me because I'm like, my friends, I've never like introduced somebody that I'm with to my friends.
Right.
And like, and she was perfectly pleasant and everything else. And I remember like we left and we had like a 2 a.m. conversation at one of these hotels and she just like opened up about, you know, she never left home, so she had all these things going on that I wasn't thinking
of. Of course, and she just got fucking raped,
yes,
dude. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
There's that, too. And, yeah. It was just becoming so crystal clear that this was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And then I remember we were in Phoenix
at a
hotel.
Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were just laying in bed, and I just said, I think when you get here, you should just sleep on the couch. Because I didn't want her to feel pressured, like, oh, this guy's staying with me. I need to have sex with him. So, and she just said, okay. And then I was like, okay. So now, like, I'm just, so then she moves into my apartment for like 2 months.
Oh my, 2 months, dude?
Yes. We definitely, nothing happens in the apartment.
No shit.
And it becomes my own personal hell because I'm still very much attracted to her. And so, you know, and she's not doing anything on purpose, but she's, you know, sleepwear is generally sexy.
She's just teasing you without knowing.
Yes. So, yeah. You know, like I'm going to the kitchen to get some water and I have to walk by her at 2 a.m. And then she's just looking all
fine. Her nipples are cold. She's like, hi.
Oh,
and
hi.
You're like, what?
Yeah. There's, oh, hi. Yeah. I'm just going to go back to my room now.
And then you're masturbating like, la, 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 la. Because she goes.
And it was just, you
I'm
know,
so sorry.
Yeah, and it just got to that weird point where I was like, "Hey, like she got a job within the first like week she was here."
Yeah,
and so she was being proactive, but it was also like, "How long are we going to do this?"
How long did you do it?
Like 2 months.
And then she got her own place.
Yeah. Then
but
I had
good
to have
for her.
The
you helped her transition.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You did a good thing. You're a good guy. Like most guys, that's like not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now what have you learned?
I've learned that you shouldn't move across the country with somebody that you hardly know.
Right.
Who you haven't had any sort of actual physical relations with.
Mm-hmm,
I sound like a politician there.
Yeah.
You must have,
you
physical,
must have
relations.
Physical relations.
Yeah, exactly. But I will never do that again.
And you learned to communicate.
I did learn to communicate.
Yeah.
Thank you. See, I didn't. You had to tell me that I learned it.
Yeah. Or you're learning how to communicate.
Yeah, there we go. That's the proper way to say that.
But we all catch ourselves in those moments where like you just become inarticulate. It's like this, your emotions just make you freeze.
Yeah.
You know, like, even with this girl now that I like she was kind of shitty to me the other night. And like, instead of being like, hey, you're being shitty, I'm going to go. Like, I was just like, let's see what happens. Like, I was still like, like, cause your feelings get in the way and you're like, but I still want to make out. And like,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah. You just like ignore the red flags of like, oh, if this is how this person acts, like as we're getting to know
each
other.
I'm ignoring every red flag because I just want to go down on her.
Yeah. There you go.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. But I do so bad. Yeah, we get, you know, our dicks make our minds a little fuzzy sometimes.
Yeah, it was my dick and my heart, I think.
I know. Those combined.
Yeah,
it's like,
that leads to driving across the country.
Awkward planet, he's our hero.
Yeah.
He's gonna do our sex down to zero.
Gonna,
Yeah. Mm. We're gonna no. We're not read
gonna.
Books.
We're not gonna.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. No, I mean it's fine. It's just crazy to think about, you
yeah.
know?
No, I think back on things and I'm like, how did I do that for so long? Or yeah. how did I
Yeah. And you know, like I helped her, like I remember loading her stuff into an Uber and then I just never saw her again.
Have you guys spoken at
no.
all?
Like, it is crazy that we have.
How long ago was this?
This was 2014.
That's not that long ago, no. bro.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like for her, she can't have any wrong, you know, like she probably doesn't have any feelings towards you that are negative because you helped her move across.
I would hope not.
I mean, you helped her, you know,
yeah.
so intensely. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, who knows? She's probably still dealing with the rape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not something that just goes away.
No.
You know?
Oh, absolutely not. Which, yeah, is again, which is yeah. why I was like, it wasn't like, all right, it's been two
like
weeks.
Like in a week. So yeah, gonna, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it was just the whole, oh, God. Yeah. So then I've just never spoken. We've never spoken again. And it's just crazy that, like, we all have these types of, not to that degree necessarily, but there's these people that you experience these crazy weird things with who you just never, you have no idea what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, like you never see them again. You have these like intense moments of connection and then it's like, bye. Like,
yeah. It's just crazy.
Yeah. I like hooked up with a guy in New York and we've been talking for months and months and months.
Yeah.
And then we had sex. It was awesome. And then like the next day or a couple days after I went and I was going to leave the next morning for New York and I have a place in New York,
yeah.
but somebody was Airbnb-ing it that night. So I was like, hey, can I just crash at your place this one night?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. I took a lot of Adderall that night, which is not good for me because this is the speed of my voice currently with nothing on it. And I was just like, blah, 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 like nonstop. And we went to a bar and he was like, I don't want you to spend the night tonight. And he kicked me out in Manhattan at like 1:30 in the morning with my suitcase.
What?
Yeah. And was like, I'm not comfortable. He's like, this is weird. I'm not comfortable. And then like, I was like in shock. I went to a friend's house and blah, blah, blah. It was fine. But then, you know, the two sides of the story, I'm telling my friends, like, he just kicked me out. And he's telling my friends, like, she wanted to move in with me. She had like a suitcase. And I'm like, what the fuck? You'd been to my apartment like the night before, which is a lot nicer than yours. Like, and you know, like it's interesting also how two people can go through the same situation and live these completely different nights.
Yeah.
Like our perspectives were completely different. Like I'm just going like, I'm this cool chick. And he's going like, she wants to date me. Like, get out, you know?
Do you remember, like, when you heard that, did you think like, did I say anything?
Yeah. Because I knew exactly what he was talking about because I was telling him, so I was there, I mean, I can say it now, but I was there because I really wanted this job at Sirius XM.
Okay.
They were like auditioning people to basically do this like after show for Stern. And I was like, I want that job so bad. And so I was telling him like, I think it went really well. Like I did the thing and I think like I might have this job in New York and be in New York more.
Okay. It was like, I'm moving to New York.
But I have a place in New York. Like I wouldn't have Airbnb people there and like stay with him, you know, like.
And it's crazy because then that makes you think like, who fucked him up? Like what girl did something similar to this? Cause it's like, you know, it's all about like perspective.
And so I didn't want to date him. Like I didn't want to, I wanted to just have fun. Like,
And so in his head, she's like, oh, she's crazy. She's moving to New York for me and all this other stuff. It's like,
like
bro.
Who the fuck do you think you are, bro?
Yeah. Seriously.
I need a small dick, which is like, what?
Come on.
Bleh.
That's no good.
You know what? It's not about size. It's really about what people do with it.
Yeah,
like it really is. Like if you have a vibe with someone that like, cause it, that's just rude of me to like women and then be like, but I don't like small dicks. Like what? You go with people who don't even have a dick and now you're telling me my dick's too small? Bitch, you're rude.
It's kind of my wrap up question here,
mm-hmm.
but I'm curious from a female perspective, like if you're in sort of like, I'm going out tonight and I am hoping to have sex.
Yes.
As an attractive woman, when you go into, just factual.
Thank you.
When you go into like a club or a bar, a large majority.
Stop. That's not a thing I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're going into a social setting.
Yeah.
And that's kind of your mind. And in this social setting, many people are probably thinking, I wouldn't mind hooking up with somebody tonight.
Right.
Men or women, I guess.
Yeah.
when a majority of the people that you're interacting with would probably be totally down to have sex with you. How do you go about
my day.
That? Like, it's almost like a superpower.
I don't feel that way. Okay. I don't feel that way. Yeah, yeah, I don't feel that way at all. I'm like, I have really low self-esteem when it comes to like if I usually will not just go out being like, I want to meet someone tonight. Sure. Like if I think I'm going to have sex with someone, it's someone I already know or okay. like someone I'm targeting, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah, or like I'll meet someone and go like, we'll have sex later down the line. Like I'm not just like, ready to fuck.
Yeah, and not like, to imply yeah, yeah. you're regularly going out just right. looking for sex with anybody. Yeah. But it's just something I always think about as like the dude when I was single that's yeah. just like looking around like, I hope I could get with somebody tonight. Like nobody's looking at me like him, definitely.
Come on. That, yes, they are. You have to know that. You have to think that and know that. And I don't feel that way either. Like I'm like a really, like I'm a very insecure little kid still on the mm-hmm. inside. It's something I'm working on. Like even when I know somebody likes me, I'm like, they don't like me. They don't like me. Like, so I think we all have to realize that we're all insecure and just like go from that place yeah. rather than like, well, that chick's really hot. She probably thinks she's like, she can fuck anybody. Like nobody feels that way. You know what I mean? And yeah. if they do, like they're, you don't want to fuck them. They
right.
suck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. 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 You know? No, that totally makes sense. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's like the whole, like, you know, you hear like, yeah, you got to approach the quote unquote hot people because they may not think that they feel that way. You know?
Yeah. But
like
also, what you just yeah. said. Yeah. Nobody feels like hot.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we all have insecurities.
We all just want to like connect. Yeah, yeah, it's all about like wanting to connect and like feel. It's all about finding people that make you feel good.
Right.
So like if yeah. somebody makes me feel good, I'm like, oh, like it'll open my, like yesterday I went out some comedy party and I was like not at all looking, but I like saw this cute guy and I was like, oh, I could just meet someone. Like that's a new concept for me right. still. Cause yeah. I never go out being like on the prowl.
Sure.
You know, yeah. usually yeah. when I'm on the prowl, it's like when I'm on Instagram, I'm like looking through, like,
right.
that's when I target.
Nice.
I feel like that's the best dating site.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a good place
to start,
to wrap it up yeah. and to start. Yeah.
To end, start my life and start. To start.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
then I run to the bathroom to poop.
I have a fan and you can also sing if you want.
Oh my gosh, it's so either nice. Way. Yeah, I just start blasting music on my phone. Like, what's she doing?
I have the fan and the heater, so it can get pretty
toasty
and
love
loud.
To sweat while I poop.
Yeah, sweat it out. That's okay.
sweat it out. Make the t-shirt, baby.
Yeah. Where can people find you on social media?
At the Jade Movie, all across the board. I don't really use Twitter or Facebook anymore, yeah. But I'm on Instagram daily.
Okay.
And yeah, my website, jadecatapretta.com.
Fantastic.
It's pretty fancy. It's pretty nice. You guys yeah, should go on site. There. Yeah. See all my old TV appearances.
Okay.
You can see my Californication on there. I'm the only person to ever have gotten rejected on Californication by David Duchovny's character.
Wow. Yeah. That should be a beacon of honor.
I know it is. Like, because I wouldn't get naked. So they were like, fuck you.
I was just
going to have you rejected.
I was just talking to a friend. And and they were rewatching the series right now. And he goes, this is just like truly a softcore porno.
Yeah, it is. I love
every
it.
Episode.
Yeah, it's so good.
So you were the one person who
I
didn't get naked.
I was the one girl on the show that, didn't.
Wow.
That had a scene with him that didn't.
Well done.
He rejected. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Wow. And what do you have in the works or coming up?
And then I have Future Man coming out January 11th. I have a small recurring on that. And it's the best fucking show I've ever worked on. It's so good. It's the first season's on Hulu now. And it's Seth Rogen's show. It's so good. They basically go through the time travel. And
oh, nice.
It's so good. It's Josh Hutchinson from The Hunger Games, nice. Derek Wilson. It's such a good show. I like can't say enough
and
about
it's called
it.
Future Man?
Future Man on Hulu. And then I'm also on the show called Those Who Can't, which is also another incredible show. I got to be directed by Bobcat.
Oh,
it was
wow.
like genius. And the cast is so good. And that comes out in January. They've been holding on to it for like a year and a half. And then I'm on a show called Funny Dance Show. I'm on the finale. That'll also be hopefully the end of February. And
listen,
then,
look at you, killing it.
Well, sometimes it does not feel like that, but I'll take it.
Sometimes when you're sitting in somebody's kitchen.
It's like, 11 o'clock in the morning on a Monday.
Like, I'm too big for this.
No, I love this. I love connecting's like what I love. But hopefully I have a podcast coming out with some of your dudes.
Yeah.
So check that out. I think the one we're thinking about is called Sexo.
What's it called?
Sexo, which is sex in Portuguese. We just think it sounds like weird, and people are going to be like, sexual? What is that? Sexual.
Sexual.
But yeah.
Well, great.
Check that out.
Yeah. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
That was the episode. I'm still in the cell phone lot, and I don't know when it's going to end. So hopefully this flight comes soon. That'd be nice. But, you know, I'll get by. Oh, the car's on empty now. I probably shouldn't have kept it on this whole time, but it's cold. Anyway, thank you so much, Jade, for coming on and talking and being so open and honest and sharing a lot of laughs with me. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. If you did, leave that review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And check out badtimesgoodstoriespod.com for past episodes, merch, and a link to the Patreon. We have a new patron, Casey. Casey, thank you so much for supporting the show. I really appreciate it. It means a lot. If you would also like to do that, just go to badtimesgoodstoriespod.com and click the Patreon link. That's all I've got for... My brother just texted me. He's arrived. He's here. Huzzah! Well, now I've got to go. So I hope that as we get close to Christmas, you're enjoying your break, if you have one. If you don't have a break, I'm sorry. Perhaps this episode was a short reprieve from whatever shitty thing you're dealing with. I hope so. I do. So until next Wednesday, keep laughing.